3, start a new chapter here, I believe.
I'm reading the first three verses.
Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer in the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried and laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, who asked alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them alms.
All right. So what's occurring here in verse 1 of chapter 3? Who are the men mentioned? First of all, how many people are mentioned? We have Peter, John, and anyone else in these three verses? And the lame man. Okay? Right. I mean, is the mother mentioned here? The mother's mentioned, but is she present? The mother's mentioned in verse 2, but is she mentioned just because he was lame? She's not there. So we have Peter, John, lame man. Where are these Peter and John going? Where are they going? They're going to the temple. And it mentions the hour of prayer. Now, do any young adults know when the hour of prayer is?
Right here in verse 1, the ninth hour.
The ninth hour. Okay. The ninth hour is the hour of prayer we're referred to. Now, when it says going up to the temple, what does that mean? Anne, you have a comment?
I think it's 2:00.
And how do you arrive at 3:00? Okay. That's good. That's very good, Anna. Now, why, when it says go up to the temple, is it possible to go down to the temple? Let me ask you that. Let me phrase the question that way. Is it possible to go down to the temple? Joe. Okay, so if you were on another hill, you have to go downhill, but then how do you get to the temple then? Okay, Pam.
Is the temple always built on the highest point, on a high area?
Well, is Jerusalem on a hill? The temple's on the hill, right? So whenever we go to the temple, generally we're going up, no matter what direction you're coming from. No, okay, unless you're already on the Temple Mount.
We're already up there. It's always up for
a
matter of what direction you're going.
Ricky, you have a comment? Well, it's not talking about compass direction. It's talking about actually going up the hill, going up the hill from all directions. But that's why I asked the question, because it is confusing. They're in the south going north, but they're going up to the temple, which is located on a hill. And who was introduced in verse 2? We have the certain lame man. Now, what is unique about the word certain when the word certain is used?
Particular.
Okay, particular. Lame man from his was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate. Now, is laid a transitive or an intransitive verb? It's intransitive. Now, what makes it intransitive? I mean, explain to me what that means, the ramification of an intransitive verb. What does that mean? Okay, so, Tammy, add to that definition. Okay. So, what would be a synonym for this? Was, or rather, laid, daily, put or placed. So, somebody had to physically carry this lame man, either, I guess, on some type of stretcher or some type of bed, and put or place him there at the gate of the temple. Now, what was the name of the gate? Anna. What was it again? That's right, it was named Beautiful. And what was the purpose of his being placed there? Why was he placed at the Beautiful Gate, at the gate called Beautiful? You know, Evan?
For healing.
For healing? Okay. That'd be a secondary reason. That was a byproduct. He was healed there. What was another reason, Anna? To get some arms? Alms. Now, what are alms? Okay, some type of money. Like, what's an example of a some money? What's some names of some money? Pardon me? Charity. Yes, basically for charity. So he was there for charity. Now, in verse 3, he sees Peter. Now, Peter and John are coming up there. The ninth hour, which is what time, Anna? Anna? When's the ninth hour? Okay, so we have Peter and John coming to the temple, going up to the temple around the ninth hour. There's this lame man who was laid at the gate Beautiful, laid the intransitive verb. Someone put or placed him there. And what does he do when he sees Peter and John? Peter and John are about ready to enter the temple. What happens? Now. All right. Good. Now, are there any comments about verses 1, 2, or 3? I remember. That's right. Almshouses. The Brits. British. Okay. No, I didn't. Maybe there were several different gates, and so maybe each one had a name, and that would just identify which gate. Now, I don't know why they came up with the name Beautiful. It may have been. It may have been Beautiful. Okay, let's read verses 4, 5, and 6.
And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And they came immediately to them, expecting to receive something of them. Ed Peterson said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Now, what is occurring here? When they're going into the temple, and then in verse 4, what does Peter do? Peter with John. How does he address this lame man, this man that was laid at the gate beautiful? He says, look at us. Now, what was the impression of the lame man? What did he think was going to happen at this time, according to verse 5? He was expecting to receive something. Now, he did receive something, but he did not receive what he was expecting to receive. And Peter said, what did he say? Silver and gold have I none. I've thought of this verse several times in several different locations when I encounter somebody who's requesting or appears to have some type of need, whether they do or not, but they appear to have some type of need. I'm thinking of this verse as far as what the people really need. They don't need a dollar bill. They don't need a handful of change or a pocketful of change. But what they really need Christ. That's what they really need. And so on several occasions, you know, I see people that they are giving the appearance of having a need. It may be a genuine need, or maybe a disingenuous need, but nevertheless they're giving this appearance of having a need. And I think of what the people really need is not the money, but they need Christ is what they really need. Because the money is not going to really solve their problem. If there's a spiritual problem, they need to deal with the spirit within a spiritual way. And money cannot fix or cure a spiritual problem. And so he said, look on us, and the lame man looked, and Peter responds, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, what was the better thing for the lame man to receive? The ability to walk again, or a pocket full of change? The ability to walk. And more importantly, his spiritual need was very important. Any further comments in verses, these six verses? Now let's read verses 7 through 9.
And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and hands upon him received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God.
All right, now what's an interesting observation? So they helped him up. They took him by the right hand, and we've covered the right hand already in Thursday night Bible study, so we won't cover it again today. But the right hand, the significance of the right hand, and lifted him up, helped him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so would this be classified as a miracle, Lord?
I was just a little stuck on that right hand thing, but
okay, you could dwell on the right hand.
But seems like a superstition type thing. I get that impression because of the great nature of right hand.
I'm not sure if there is some superstition. I know in some countries where if somebody for some reason has lost their right hand or lost part of their right hand, they can't shake someone's hand. They'll shake with the left hand, but they'll bring their right arm over. So maybe there is some root of, I'm not sure if it's... I don't necessarily know if it's necessarily right hand. They do talk about the right hand is always a place of honor. It's not necessarily God, you know, when Stephen, right before he died, when he was being stoned, he looked up to heaven, he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. It's a place of honor. The flags, if there's a group of flags, they go on, if it's America, the flag of the country you're in, the country that you're in, if you have a line of other countries' flags, that flag goes in the right. It's a spot of honor. So I think it's sometimes in some cultures has been made into some type of superstition, but in the scripture, when it's used in scripture, it's pointed to as a place of honor, a place of respect, as far as the right hand is concerned. You know, they helped them up with the right hand, by the right hand. And I'm not sure why the Holy Spirit instructed Luke to indicate which hand it was, but he did. A place of honor, a place of respect, and immediately the feet and ankle bones received strength. Any further comments on verse 7? Did that kind of answer your question? Okay. And then the man responded in verse 8, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. So here we know this man had never walked before. The scripture, the verse in verse 2, it says he was lame from birth in verse 2. And so not only did he receive strength, but he received the ability, not only did his bones receive strength, but he received the ability to walk again. Now, I never, There's some people that when they're if they lose the use of their legs for a while, they'll have to learn how to walk again. And here, I mean, if it's a temporary loss of the legs, someone who's known how to walk before, they still have to learn again. They have to develop them. Things need to develop and the balance and the muscles and everything. Just a moment. But here, not only did he get his, not only was he, his medical condition cleared up as far as being lame, but he also received the ability to know how to walk. Not only just walk, simply walk, but it's as he was leaping and jumping, you know, doing, he was very, very excited, he was praising God. Any other comment?
Oh, yeah. Well, they, like, and then they get polio.
Right. That's a good example. Any other comments, Mr. Burns?
I'm going to Peter's right hand.
Okay, let's go back to Peter's right hand.
I think the hook by the right hand, that would be the clean Peter by the right hand. I think that's a problem grasp and lifting weight by both hands.
Okay.
Right hand is wrong.
Okay.
With both
so Peter took both his hands and grabbed the man's right hand to pull him up. Okay. I don't think you're going outside the scope of the verse. Tammy. Right. Okay. Right. Follow up, go ahead.
Yeah. When we got done in the first place, I mean, I was also thinking, well, if you took him by the left hand, we'd be sitting around here saying, now, why did he take him by his left hand? You know, when the right hand does, in fact, sound much more logical.
Right. Right. Any more comments at the right hand or before the right hand? Yeah, verse 8, okay. Right. Right. So far, it's like a three-part miracle. The healing of the ailment in the bone, the ability to just walk, do a simple walk across the street, and then the ability to leap and jump. Is it jumping or just leaping? Just walking and leaping. Right, you're leaping. You know, wow, look at me. I can walk. I have my legs back. I mean, not he's got his legs. He's never had them.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but were there some miracles that did look on when people were not as grateful? Or was, I don't know why I recall some.
There is one. At least there's at least one. Yes, there were people that were 10 that were healed, and only one came back. To express gratitude. I mean, he says, where are the other, he asked, where are the other nine?
Right, and that's what that reminded me of, talking about miracles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, praise God, healed well.
Right.
Instead of ran away,
mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And here in verse 9, see, remember, he was late daily at the gate. So there are certain people, you may frequent certain places, a certain grocery store, or there may be some place you go a lot. And so you'll see the same people in that context a lot. And so if people are going to the temple, and here's this lame man that's been late, been placed there every single day at the Gate Beautiful for so many years, you're going to know what he looks like. And if you see, if you're all of a sudden you're coming to the temple one day, and all of a sudden he's not there by the Gate of Beautiful, but he's over there inside the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God, you're going to recognize him, and you know something drastically has happened. And so that's where verse 9 is trying to explain. It says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they were lepers.
That's right. They all say thanks. There's one of them.
Why?
So that was a particular problem. That was leprosy. And Christ healed them, correct?
Well,
they wouldn't be giving him. He wouldn't be asking for money anymore.
But what if?
That's why. I mean.
Wouldn't they get angry and say, "Why don't you give money if you're never gonna?"
I think later on we'll discover that he demonstrated that there wasn't any question that he was lying.
It'll be demonstrated later on, Ricky. Are you suspecting that he's a fraud yourself? Right. I would think so. Because if somebody you could tell they would have real thin legs, and it would be obvious probably. Tammy. And so later on we'll find out they'll even bring his parents in and said, "Was your son? Was you? Was he not born lame?" You know. Oh, it was somebody else. Okay, well, we'll have to see if we come to the lame man, too. You might be right, Anna. Any other comments in verses 1 through 9? All right, let's read 10, 11, and 12.
And they knew that he was standing for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that was called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto them, people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why are looking so earnestly on us, that by our own power, our own holdings, we made this man walk?
Here we have the people are noticing in verse 10. Now, what are some observations from verse 10 that could be made?
They knew who he was.
All right. They knew who he was. They recognized him, and they knew this was man.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder, I would think, is asking the question how, and amazement may be addressing the question of more addressing the surprise type of aspect. I would think wonder would say, how did this happen? And the amazement would say, you know, what do you know about this? This is wonder. This is amazing. I wish it happened unto him. And so then in verse 11, you have people coming together. This is drawing attention because this man was the one that sat at the gate beautiful asking alms of everybody. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them. And what was the name of the porch they were at? Solomon's porch, greatly wondering. And so again, here we have the word wondering how this is happening. How this happened. And when Peter saw it, in other words, when Peter saw this group of people gathering together, he wanted to take advantage of all the crowd, to be able to address the crowd and talk to the crowd. And so he says, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though we, by our own power or holiness, had made this man to walk? So right now Peter is taking the focus off of Peter and John, and he's eventually going to point it to God, the one that ultimately gave him the power, and the Christ. Because the people are trying to attribute what happened to Peter and John. That's what it seems like. The people are wondering, they're gathering around Peter and John saying, how did you do this? And John is immediately stopping them and saying, well, Peter's stopping them and saying, well, we really didn't. We didn't do it. We were just instruments that God had used to heal this man. Any thoughts on verses 1 through 12, or 10 through 12? Let's read verses 13 through 15.
The God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom he delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, and when he was determined to let him go. And he denied the Holy One, and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof your witnesses.
Alright, here we have Peter addressing the crowd, and he's telling them who cured the lame man, who gave the lame man his ability to walk again. And it's the, how did he describe him? In verse 13, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus. And then what does he tell them? It says, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. This Pilate was determined, but the people kept on pressing, and then Pilate finally succumbed to the wishes of the people. But it says, whom ye delivered up. Thomas? It's possible. Yeah, because he's saying you are the ones that delivered him. He's at the temple, that's right. It would be likely that there could be a lot of the religious leaders there at the temple. Any comments on 13? So here's an example of taking the glory off themselves and giving the glory to God. That's where the glory belongs. It doesn't belong on themselves, but it belongs on God. And then it goes on in talking to them. It says, but ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Yes?
Has this word been used
anywhere else? I'm not sure how to describe Christ.
Right.
This may be the, in this particular context, is referring to him. Maybe the only place it's referred to is that. Right, that's right. And what they desire instead of Jesus, they wanted Barabbas, who was a murderer, and he talks about him, and kill the Prince of Life. So right now Peter's attributing, he's blaming them for killing. He's not blaming the Romans. He's not blaming Pilate. He's blaming them, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. So here they were witnesses of that fact. Peter and John were witnesses to the resurrection. And so he's taking this opportunity to explain to these men, these religious people there at the temple, some probably religious leaders, how this happened. And it was through the power of Jesus Christ, God the Son, that it happened. All right, any further thoughts on verses 13, 14, or 15?
No, I think
Okay, next verse. Next week, or we'll try and get it now.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Let's read verse 16, 17, 18.
And his name, through faith, is in his name, have made his strong. For me, see and know. He is the faith which is by him. I've given him his perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I walk through ignorance, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled.
All right. What is it about verse 16 that is interesting to you?
And his name, faith in his name, has made this man strong. They're showing that
they're saying
that the faith. Pick
it up. All
right. When it says John
4:8, well, what is the antecedent in verse and his name? What is the antecedent of his? Does that go back to verse 15? Is it still the Lord, right? Okay, because he gets faith in Christ's name, faith, he has faith in the Son of God, because when Peter told him before, right? And so we have here, and hath the last part, and hath made this man strong, faith in his name, and made this man strong, right? Mm-hmm. Whom ye see and know. He's referring to the man that was lame. Yea, in this middle part of verse 16, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him his perfect soundness in the presence of you all.
If you do anything in my name, I'll give
him. All right. Now, right. Okay. Look on us. And so the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness. In other words, given the lame man perfect soundness in the legs and everything, in the presence of you all.
The faith would come to rise.
What the pronoun? And verse 17, and now, brethren, I walk through ignorance. Ye did it as did also your rulers.
What?
So what is he saying? He's talking to, yes, he's talking, he's back to the people. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on, but those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. So, although they were guilty of putting him to death, but it was all a part of God's plan in verse 18. Prophets said, demonstrated, predicted it. God had predicted it through the prophets, and right, everything all fit together. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Any final thoughts on these 18 verses we looked at today?